Call your next witness, please. Record will indicate all the jurors are present, counsel, and parties.
Bahram Karmani.
Bahram Karmani, called as a witness by the plaintiff, having been first duly sworn, was examined and testified as follows.
Would you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
Bahram Karmani, K-E-R-M-A-N-I.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it Mr. Karmani or Dr. Karmani?
It's Dr. Karmani.
I'll call you doctor.
Sure.
Dr. Karmani, are you currently employed by Illumina?
Yes, I am.
And when did you first become employed by Illumina?
January 17th, 2000.
And sir, what was your first position with the company?
Senior scientist, bioinformatics.
Is that the position you still hold today?
I was promoted to staff scientist in bioinformatics.
When did that happen?
I don't quite recall. Probably more than a year ago.
What is meant by bioinformatics? What does that group do?
It's the informatics, which is information science and biology.
What role does bioinformatics play with respect to the decoding process?
Once data is acquired, it comes in the form of data, which is just numbers, and then it's my job to decode based on those numbers. In other words, make sense of the actual code based on the numbers. The numbers that I'm talking about represent entities on the image that it acquires.
You take the data generated by the molecular biology group and you analyze it?
Not quite. The data goes through an image processing application and it transformed. The intensity is extracted and transformed to columns of text. So text represents a bead location. If you are familiar with the terms, intensities in different stages. So that's input to my algorithms. Take it from there.
Who does the image imaging process?
The scientist, term scientist here refers to chemists and biologists, and also mathematics people. They can run this application. There's an application at the time, it was called FiberWorks. So the image would go through FiberWorks, and the output of FiberWorks was bead intensities, which was the inputs to my program. Now, FiberWorks is a program, and anybody with knowledge of the configuration and how to run it can run it, basically.
I'll try to keep this as simple as possible.
Sure.
Most of us, I think, are not scientists.
Sure.
With respect to the 768 decoding experiments, you are familiar with those experiments?
To some degree.
Do you recall that there were two sets of 768 codes that were attempted to be decoded in the year 2000?
I don't recall, but after I got familiar with this case, I did some digging in data and figured out, it appeared to me, there are two different cases because the quality of the results.
And did you do analysis on both sets of those 768 codes?
So my function is generating algorithms and also implementing algorithms in terms of a program. This program can be run again by anybody in the company. So if you think about it that way, yes, I'm involved because I made the program. But it doesn't necessarily mean I was the one who was involved in get running the data through the program. Although I did do data analysis as well, which means taking the results of the program and trying to convert that into something that makes more sense at the higher level. So I was involved in one of those, and some of those I was not involved.
Were you involved in analyzing the data from the first 768 decode experiment, the first half of 2000?
I do not recall, but it's usually what would happen as the architect of this program. I would run data through with whatever comes out. If nothing, if for no other reason, it would be for my benefit to tune the algorithms for higher performance. Chances are, yes, I have run it through, but I do not recall specifically.
Have you ever reviewed the data from the first 768?
From the first? The only clue I found to the first set was a path I had, and I asked the IT to recover that path because it was non-existent anymore. This was a location on a computer that, because we have a lot of images that grow large in size, we have to archive them. Once we archive, we are out of the computer system. I had to ask the information technology department to recover them, and there was one directly that was recovered. With one file I could associate with, and it appeared to be the file because it had the keyword 768 in it. And the date of that directory was back in May. There was another 768 experiment done in June or July timeframe. this particular one I'm talking about, the one in May, from that directory, from looking at that one file, it appeared not to have the quality. Not to have any quality.
So you reviewed the data that you believe to be the data from the first 768 decode experiment, correct?
Only about a month ago or so.
And in that review, you've concluded that the quality, that there was no quality to that data.
Based on that one file, just one file, a lot of times I have to mention that you can have data. You have multiple fiber bundles, and your experiment may fail on a certain fiber bundle for one reason or another. One reason could be like, there are many reasons. It could be the fiber was broken for any reason, for mechanical reasons. So this was just one file. I want to express the importance of that. But yes, based on that one file, it did not have quality.
Dr. Kevin Gunderson testified the first 768 decode experiment didn't work. Did you see anything that was inconsistent with that?
No. Based on that one file, it would be consistent with that testimony.
Now, did you do the analysis of data for the second 768 decode experiment that was run in the summer of 2000?
I did some analysis. I wouldn't refer to it as the analysis because, once again, everybody else could do an analysis. But I did do some analysis.
Using your computer program, you did some analysis of the 768 decode experiment that was run in the summer of 2000.
The decoding program won't do analysis by itself. It gives you some summary statistics of experiment, but what I refer to as analysis is taking that summary statistics and trying to make sense at a higher level. And that was not done using the program. It was done using other programs.
Based on what you did in terms of analyzing the data from the second 768 decode experiment, the one that was run in the summer of 2000, did you notice any problems with the data?
Based on the white light experiment, it didn't appear to be a significant problem. When we say problem, we're talking about the quality, and quality can never be perfect. So as a person in informatics, you should have higher standards. So if anything is below 100%, we would call it not perfect in that sense. But with respect to something realistic, you would expect, yes, it did have the quality.
How many total beads were used on the array for the second 768 decode experiment?
Objection. I'm just going to object vague when you say total number of beads. Actual number of physical beads or bead types?
Total number of physical beads.
That's a random process. I can't answer that question exactly. We have a total of approximately 50,000 cores, core locations. When we assemble this based on the random process, you may have anywhere from any percent up to 100% of those filled, and that becomes your number of beads.
Can you give us an estimate of how many beads total, not bead types, total beads, were on the array that you analyzed for the second 768 experiment?
I probably do have information to get exact numbers, but right now on top of my head, off the top of my head, I can only remember perhaps in the vicinity of 20 to 30,000 beads.
Now, is it correct that in analyzing the data for results that it requires you to essentially throw away or ignore certain numbers of the beads that are on the array?
Certain cores. As I said, because this is a random process, not all the cores are occupied. And when you are analyzing, specifically because you analyze everything, all the core locations, you happen to analyze anti-cores as well. So that will come into analysis, and if you don't take care of them originally, they will contaminate the results, so you have to take those anti-cores.
You throw away the ones that are empty. You don't consider them.
And that's not 100% accurate again. You throw away what you believe is anti-core because you cannot know which one is anti-core. You only look at intensities. Based on intensities, you can make a judgment whether it's anti-core or not.
You also throw away those beads that you are not able to decode. Is that right?
At different evolutions of the program, we design different ways. So we have ways to filter out data that is inconsistent with the templates you are looking for. Templates are fairly general. So to give you specific results, I don't know if anyone has talked about clustering. When you do clustering, it's fairly, I'm getting into technical details. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
So the answer is yes, we do filtering. We do some degree of filtering to improve the overall performance results.
In lay terms, if a spot appears to be empty, you throw that away or disregard it.
Correct.
And if you can't decode that particular bead, for whatever reason, you throw it away or ignore it?
That's objective, yes.
Of the 25,000 or so beads that were on the array that you analyzed, 25,000 cores, how many were thrown away or ignored?
60,000 cores, and between 25,000 beads...
How many of the approximately 25,000 beads did you have to throw away or disregard in order to analyze the data?
Probably for that specific experiment, we didn't have to throw away anything. It appeared to be nicely clustered. But since we have one program, certain parameters, and we apply it across the board to everything we get, because you want to be blindfolded from the data that comes in, and for that reason, the filter was on. And when the filter was on, it appeared like it had filtered out about 4,000 beads in that area.
4,000?
Approximately. Again, I have to look at the data exactly.
Let's take a look, please, at Exhibit 269. Let me ask you first, before I ask you specific questions about this document, Dr. Kermani, on the second 768 experiment, the one done in the summertime of 2000, of the 768 different bead types, how many was Illumina actually able to decode?
Once again, we have different criteria for calling something decoded. If you call the criteria minimum of 2 beads or 3 beads in that case, it happened to be 517 bead types. In other words, 517 bead types had at least 2 beads or 3 beads. I can't recall exactly. At least 2 beads in every...
There's a more rigorous way to analyze the data involving more bead types, isn't there?
You can change your threshold as you desire. You can change it to a higher threshold. We do that experiment often, and I think if you increase the threshold to 11 or 12, you would end up with 249 or something in that area bead type, so...
Let me interrupt a second. The lower you set the threshold, the easier it is to say a bead is decoded, true?
Bead type is decoded.
The higher you set the threshold, that would result probably in a lower number of bead types being decoded.
Yes, and that's theoretically expected to be the case.
The level you thought you should set it at, in your judgment, was 5. Isn't that right?
I think for that particular experiment was 2, I believe. Once again, it's up to the user. My program would provide parameters that can be set by the users.
Who was the user who told you to use 2?
The users don't tell me what to use. The users will use it at their will and get the results.
Who uses the program and used 2 as the threshold for the 768 decode?
I don't know. Anybody in the company could use the program.
Did you run the program setting it at a certain threshold?
I believe I ran the program. I do not remember what the specific threshold I put it, but it seems to me that 2 was the correct threshold because of some of the results when I look at them. It appears to be histograms saying their tails into areas of 2 or higher.
2 is the lowest you could set it?
No, I could set it to 0.
Would that give any meaningful data if you set it to 0?
Yes, you can have a lot of bead types with one bead because it's not all filtering we do. We do what's called concordance, and that's at the fiber, multiple fiber levels. If you set it to lower threshold, chances are you get more garbage in. But when you look at concordance between different fibers, if that's truly a garbage point, a bad point, it will not appear in all bundles with the same representations. So it would raise a flag and you stop.
The range at which you could set the threshold is from 0 to 12, approximately?
No, it's from 0 to infinity.
In terms of actual use at Illumina, it's set between 0 and 12.
Depends on the representations. So if you know how many beads you have, you know an average. Obviously, you know how many beads per bead type to expect because you know how many bead types and numbers of beads, so you divide it. So get the number of expected bead types, and you know theoretically this follows a distribution. so you know what the tails of distribution should be, so you know within 99% of whatever confidence interval how many beads you would expect in every bead type. That would give you good value for the lower threshold.
But this scale, setting this threshold, the lower you set the scale, the more garbage comes in, right?
Potentially. It could be as little as zero bad data point entering.
And 2 was the threshold that was used to analyze the 768.
To the degree I recall based on what I observed.
Let me ask you this. In this email dated July 13th of 2000, it stated that based on the 2 different sets of 768 that were run...
Okay.
Based on the 2 sets that were run by July, we'll have 1,000 useful addresses. That's not true based on your knowledge and information, is it, sir?
As I said, I only remember 1 set, so it's possible if you had the second set. The second set, the only limitation is a theoretical limitation. I don't know if 1,000 is the actual value or it would be higher. Because as I said, to the degree I remember, it was 1 set that perhaps I performed experiment on, and it was threshold of 2 gave 517 that were concordant between 3 bundles at least.
In simple terms, the first set of 768 that was run in the beginning of 2000, you've concluded that had no useful data, and the second set that was run developed perhaps 500 or so different bead types. Is that right?
So if you only look at what we referred to in the May time frame as the first set, that would be correct. It doesn't quite make sense to me. It appears the experiment that was done in summer, specifically in July time frame, was perhaps 2 experiments. We often do multiple blocks, so we don't just stop at 1 block. So if anything would make sense, it would be to do 2 experiments of that type.
Because you know the first one resulted in no meaningful data, right?
Yeah, first one definition we made, yes. I don't know the first one there means the first one over here. That's hard to tell.
Do you agree with this statement, Dr. Kermani, where it's stated in this email that of 768 bead types, 626 were decoded?
So that's not the number I recall, but if you set the threshold maybe to 1, that would be possible.
You set it to 0 and allow more garbage in, you might get a higher number. Is that true?
Once again, with that quality of data, actually it might be possible to just run the program, see how much garbage we're getting. The program would, if something has 0 beads in it, it puts in different categories. 0 is obsolete, is only 1 bead in a bead type. And yes, you get more garbage compared to 2. But if the clusters are clean, whatever the number of garbage you get could be 0. You could get nothing.
You don't agree with this number of 626, do you?
I haven't seen that number, and that means I have not run the experiment using a threshold giving that number to me.
Nothing further.
Thank you. You may examine.